Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
All right, so I'll be honest with you. We're kind of messing with both the baseball gods and the weather gods, because if you've been following along for very long, you know that when we have an unexpected Sports Open Line because of a Cardinals rainout, it's kind of become our shtick that we bring Joe Roderick from STL Sports Central on. But I like Joe, and I like talking to him a lot, and I don't want it to just be, hey, the weather's bad, let's have him on. So I invited him on. But if something happens tonight where there's a rain out, a rain delay, I think we are responsible for this happening. We welcome Joe Roderick onto the program right now. Hi, Joe.
What's going on, Matt? So technically, I mean, there were a lot of rainouts in the area today. Over in the Illinois side, there is junior high baseball, school baseball.
Okay.
And a lot of games were canceled today due to the rain. So technically, there have been rainouts today.
All right. I mean, you're stretching, but I appreciate the effort.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. We were talking about you on STL Sports Central last week. We were sharing stories of times we might have accidentally insulted the great state of Kansas that I know that you went to school at. And Brendan Schaefer and I were both sharing such stories of times we might have made faux pas about the state of Kansas or your Wildcats.
So do you want to – we weren't expected to talk about this, but it was brought up again recently. I have an issue. I have an issue with like this story that gets told all the time. What? Okay, I love Norm Stewart. Norm Stewart is one of the all-time great college basketball coaches. Growing up in St. Louis, growing up in a family that rooted for Missouri, I understood the impact of Norm Stewart. But Joe, you know how there's the long story that Norm would never stay in Kansas and he would never spend a dollar in Kansas, that whole thing. You know that one?
I haven't heard that one, okay. But that's what makes a good rivalry.
Yeah. So the story about Norm Stewart is that he would the team would not stay in Kansas. So if they're playing at Kansas, that's an easy thing to do. You're 30 minutes from the Missouri border. Right. You can go stay in Kansas City and bus into Lawrence, and it's not a problem. So people tell that story over and over, and it got told a lot recently because the Missouri-KU football rivalry got built up. As a proud graduate of Kansas State and knowing a map, I know that Manhattan, Kansas is over 2 hours from the Missouri border. I don't think Norm was keeping his team in Kansas City on the nights before they played at K-State. I think they stay. I don't know for sure. Somebody can correct me. The text line is 314-436-7900. But every time somebody tells that story about Norm would never have his team stay in Kansas, they just only thought about the Jayhawks, and they don't think through that one where there's another team in Kansas 2 hours further where that story doesn't totally jive.
The passion in your voice. I could tell you're a guy that you've been itching to have something to be passionate about over the last several months, and the Cardinals just haven't been doing it for us, right?
Well, and then K-State football's terrible this year, so I can't even be happy about that. So all I could do is moan and complain about a story that's existed for 30 years about the great Norm Stewart that I think there's holes in that story. That's all I'm saying. I think there are holes in that story that do not get investigated when it gets brought up. Speaking of the Cardinals, Joe, they're not going to the playoffs this year, even though they're not mathematically eliminated. But there's something to be said for a team that's still playing hard and going out and winning games. They took two or three from the Brewers. They beat the Giants last night. I mean, they're not just, you know, phoning it in for the rest of the year.
Right. And how are you going about addressing people that'll sit there and say, hey, they're still alive. They're still alive. It's like, stop it. They're not alive. Like, they haven't been alive since the Yankee series. That's when I tapped out. That's when I said this on multiple shows. Like, that was the series where I was like, all right, you know what? I'm done. Like, I'm not going to let you hurt me anymore. I'm not going to go into these series and go, hey, if we get two out of three, if we sweep, like, we have a chance. Like, I'm just done being hurt by the 2025 Cardinals. I'm ready to move on past it. And then you look at the standings and you're just like, how are they 3.5 games back with a handful of games left to play? Like, it just makes no sense. Like, I remember those teams, the Albert Pujols teams, and even the few years after him, where you kind of looked at it and you're like, you know what, like La Russa, you know, the Matheny days, the Schilt days, like you looked at those and you're like, this is, you know, the DeWitts did an incredible job for 20 years. Mo, throughout his entire tenure, the Cardinals practically every single year were playing meaningful baseball in September. And by meaningful baseball, you mean, you know, playoff contending baseball. Like, they weren't eliminated until the last week or, you know, weekend of the season. And for all of the, you know, for looking at it this year, they still are kind of maintaining it. I mean, they have 5 games left, and they have not been eliminated from postseason contention. And I know it's different, you know, that back then there were 4 playoff teams, now there's 6. So, you put a little asterisk next to it. But it's, Matt, like, I'm frustrated with this season when it comes down to it. Like, it's, you kind of look at the overall part of the season, you're just like, if they would have tried just a little harder to amp up the pitching staff at any point, they would easily be 2 games ahead of the Giants and Reds right now going into this final week. And it's really frustrating to look back into January and February and see just how little they did.
Yeah. And but to be, I'll call myself out. I held on to hope a little bit longer than you did. Really, it wasn't until they took 2 out of 3 from San Francisco at home. And I was like, man, there's a chance that they really go on it. They have a great road trip here. If they go 4-2 against Seattle and Milwaukee, maybe there's something there. And then they didn't. And that's when I got to my point of saying, okay, this is, I didn't think it was going to happen, but now I know it's not going to happen. But to your point, there's 2 things here, Joe. It's, do you want to build a team that's just going to be good enough to get into the postseason, or do you just completely scrap any idea of, like, shooting for the postseason this year? If it happens, it happens, but you're not going to actively do anything for it because you're totally focused on what it's going to look like in the years beyond this year. And they did do the latter. I understand, Joe, why they did the latter, but at the same time, when they're sitting, you know, 3 or so games out of a playoff spot with 5 games to go, you start to say to yourself, man, there'd be value in this being a playoff club.
It's one of those where you kind of look at the overall picture, and if we were being told that the team was going to show some financial responsibility and they didn't want to go out and spend $10 million, $15 million on anyone because they thought of this as a runway season. You're telling me, like, you and I have both seen the attendance at Busch Stadium this year. We've seen how empty that stadium is. You're telling me that if they would have spent $15 million on a starter that was better than Eric Fetty or Andre Pallante, and then add to that also having Michael McGreevy make 30 starts instead of 20 this season, and they made, you're telling me that if this team was 2 games up, again, if they were 2 games up in a wild card right now, you're telling me Busch Stadium wouldn't have been so much more filled this whole summer that they would have made back that $10 million, $15 million that they would have spent on one guy? Like, that's where, like, the math doesn't make sense to me on that.
I would love to be able to hop in the DeLorean and watch that scenario play out and see how fans would have reacted to this team being a team that was fighting, like, really in there for, like, a wild card spot, but clearly not one of the better teams in baseball and still being around 500. I just, I'm not saying you're wrong, Joe. I don't know how the fans would have reacted. It has become such a cool thing for a certain percentage of St. Louisans to puff their chest out and say, I'm not going to a Cardinals game until things change. Like, I don't know if there would be some increase in your scenario, but I'd love to know how much of an increase it actually would have been.
And those are also the same fans that sit there and they want to say, oh, fire everybody, sell the team, rebuild, tear it all down. And then they complain about games like 2 weeks ago against Milwaukee where the Cardinal bullpen gave up a 7-1 lead. Like, Cardinal fans, I would say a majority of Cardinal fans do not have the stomach to go through a 90, 95, 100 loss season. That's what a rebuild is. That's what tearing it all down is. I don't think Cardinal fans are programmed to deal with that. So you could sit there and you could say, oh, I don't want to support this team. They need to fire everybody and start over. But then you sit there and you complain when they lose a game. Like, you can't have it both ways. And it's just one of those things that I see it in the comments. I'm sure you see it in the text line and phone calls that you get too, that just you can't have both sides of it.
No, you can't. And I don't know if the fan base has ever been as fractured as they are right now. Like, so much of them are unhappy, but so many of them are unhappy for different reasons. People are unhappy that Mo's around. People are unhappy that Marmol's around. People are unhappy that they didn't go more into a rebuild. People are unhappy that they didn't put more into the roster. Like, there's a lot of unhappiness, and it comes from a lot of different ways. And I have to remind myself, Joe, when I'm doing these shows and I see these messages, that these are individuals that are saying things. They're not speaking for the group, because it seems like there are so many different areas of kind of like discontentment with this fan base right now.
And you know what, Matt, I think those people that are mad at those things, man, they're going to be a whole lot more upset, I think, come next Tuesday, because I have a strong feeling that we're about to find out that Ali deservedly is going to get a year or two extension on his contract. I really believe that that's going to be Heim Bloom's, one of his first orders of business is he's going to extend Ali, and Ali deserves the heck out of that this year after what he's done with this team and what he was given this season. And I really hope he takes it and absolutely runs with it.
I would be fine with that. I don't know if that's it'd be an interesting decision. Like, my thought process has always been, I think it would make sense to bring Ali back so Heim can sit there and see whether or not the two really are good at working together. Generally, I don't like the idea of a lame duck guy, but in Heim's first year, letting the two kind of navigate the thing together. But if they want to give Ali a contract extension, I'm not going to be upset about it.
Yeah, and, you know, seen more of the interaction behind the scenes than I have. I would hope that there's been plenty of interaction, of conversations with Heim and Ali this whole season. As you know, really none of us have really had a chance to talk much to, I haven't talked to Heim Bloom at all. I don't know if you have in any capacity, but, you know, it's one of those where I think we are all waiting to hear what he has to say next week.
I've talked to him a little bit. He's a really good guy. We haven't talked a lot of baseball stuff. When I see him, I ask him, how's the move going? When's the family going to get here? Things like that. We'll have plenty of time to talk baseball with him here moving forward. Starting next week, there's going to be a press conference, I assume, at some point next week where he's going to speak. And I'm going to be really curious what it's going to look like, because you said the Cardinals fans don't have a stomach for an extreme rebuild. There is a legit possibility that they are going to go down that path.
And you know what? If they go down that path, but they have exciting players here playing, that's okay with me too. If J.J. Weatherholt is starting opening day next year, and you have J.J. Weatherholt and Ivan Herrera in your starting lineup, that's going to be fun to watch. Because I know you talked to Bernie a whole lot, and we have Bernie on STL Sports Central. We have him writing for us every day, too. The numbers that he has thrown out there and kind of brought to light about the season Ivan Herrera is having, man, just let the dog eat.
Yeah.
I mean, it is going to be, if he wants to catch, let him catch next year. If he wants to play left, if he wants to just have his bat in the lineup for 162 games, figure out what that needs to look like of him being healthy and able to play every day, and just let him mash and see what that looks like with guys like him and Weatherholt in the lineup together.
I actually think that's the reason not to have him catch, so you can have him in the lineup more often. I thought that way about Wilson Contreras, and we really didn't see a jump in his numbers this year just because he was at first base, and that surprised me a little bit. But if they, and Ali addressed that when he talked today earlier on the Gas House Gang, but it seems like they very openly said they were worried about the impact on his lower body when he was catching, and that led to injuries. If they have that worry at all, I don't think he should be catching, because like you, I want to see him in the lineup as often as possible.
Yeah. And I guess that's where I open the ability to let him catch. I don't, make that his third position and just have him in there once a week. And I guess that probably really, really handicaps your defense for that one day. But if he's your catcher and you can get offensive production out of the catching position that you really didn't get a whole lot of this year, that opens up so much more opportunity in that lineup, I think.
Folks should check out STL Sports Central. Joe Roderick is a big part of the team there. He mentioned Bernie Miklas earlier. If you want to read Bernie's written content and take in his videos, they're all available at STL Sports Central. They've got a lot more written content. They've got videos all the time for just about every sport in St. Louis. They're doing more stuff with SEC football. They've got a sister site with that. Joe, did I miss anything? Is there anything else I need to plug when it comes to STL Sports Central?
We're going to have a whole lot of blue stuff starting up here outside of the written stuff we already have. We will have you covered with absolutely everything. College football, hockey, baseball, everything. It really is a one-stop shop for all things St. Louis area sports.
We appreciate your time. We hope that there's not a rain out today because of this conversation, and we will have you on again very, very soon.
Sounds good, Matt. Good talking to you.
Very good. That's Joe Roderick joining us here on the program. We appreciate him taking a few moments with us. We are, 23 minutes away from, 28 minutes away. Math was never my strong suit. Thankfully, there's other people who can do math for me in the very important situations. We're 28 minutes away from our coverage of Cardinals baseball tonight. They are in San Francisco. They are going to match up against the Giants. Going to continue that conversation that I started earlier. And this is an opportunity for you to chime in a little bit. We'll actually open up the phone lines if you want to do that. You can get in here at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me as well, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Just jumping off the conversation that we were just having, what are your expectations for next season? And not like a win-loss standpoint, but the approach that they are going to take. And we're going to find it out next week at some point in time, I think. I think from a communication standpoint, they're going to do a nice job of pointing us in the direction that they are going. But where are you at? If we can all sit here and agree that the eventual goal is for this team to be a legit World Series contender more often than not, how do they get there? What would you like to see? And let's talk. If your answer is they need to go sign Kyle Tucker, I don't think that's a conversation to be had, because I don't think they're going to spend that kind of money. So knowing that there are restrictions, there are things that they're not going to do, what would you like them to do? We'll take your text messages, 314-436-7900. That's where you can call as well. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air, or you can leave a comment in the chat on the video stream for those of you who are watching us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. We'll be back with more of a Graybar Sports Open Line in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
We are taking you tonight to about 7:45. Then we'll break for about 5 minutes, and then we'll get into Cardinals baseball. Cardinals Giants tonight. Again, Andre Pallante on the mound looking for his seventh win. Logan Webb is going to make the start for the Giants. Logan Webb is having a pretty nice season. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can leave a comment. So my question for you, if you want to get in here, is where are you at in terms of what you want to see for this team moving forward? And how comfortable are you with them potentially taking even more of a step back to eventually surge forward, allowing Heim Bloom to put his fingerprints, everything? We'll start with Tom, who has given us a call. Hey, Tom, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. And it's a little bit of a different direction than what the question you just asked, but I hope you'll let me share it with you.
Okay.
It's regarding my frustration is with the Cardinals. They got a sweetheart of a deal on that between the parking garages and everything, the price they paid for it. And since then, they've taken money out of the team. They built the ballpark village. They built the condos, all the businesses down there. They've taken money out of the club for other ventures. They've been successful, too, but now the team needs a little bit of money. And they're acting like those other ventures. Oh, no, no, those are standalones. It all goes back to the fans now. You know, and again, that's my frustration. You see where I'm coming from? They didn't have those things if it wasn't for the team.
Yeah.
And now the team needs a little help, and it seems like they're blaming it all on the fans, and they can't put no more money into the team.
So, stay on the line, Tom. I want to have a conversation with you, and I hear the passion in your voice. I disagree with you a little bit, and this is why. And to be fair, I wasn't here as Ballpark Village was being built up, but they I don't think they were taking away from the club at that point, and I don't think they're. When they didn't spend money this past offseason, it wasn't because they didn't have the money to spend. It was because they were making the decision that they were going to go through this reset and the runway season and all these sort of things. I think you're connecting two things that are not connected. The Ballpark Village business is its own business. It is profitable. I don't think those two things interact very much, and I would argue that if the Cardinals were in more of a winning window right now, they would have been perfectly fine spending more money.
So you think that they got all those things without the team? Soon they have gambling down there. Also, they're going to have that now. All those things were revenue from the team. You know what I mean? All the signage, all the advertisements, the concessions. So when it goes down and they need a little help, you know, I agree with you. It's more poor decisions than it was money the past few years.
I mean, to be really blunt, Tom, I think you are discounting just how rich the DeWitts are. They didn't have to, steal from Peter to pay Paul. Like that was not something that they needed to do.
Okay, let me put it another way.
Okay,
they never want to pay a guy that's got a bad contract. Here's the way I always look at that. If you're already paying Arenado $17 million, and let's just say the replacement's a rookie or somebody that's only going to make the minimum, all it's going to cost you to make that change is what you're paying the guy coming in at the minimum, because you've already spent the other money, okay? So all it's going to cost you to make that change for the good of the team is spending their $650,000 or whatever. I mean, whatever the minimum is for these kids. But no, they won't admit that mistake, so they'll put that guy out there and hurt the team because they don't want to eat that money.
Yeah, Tom, we're like-minded on that one. I think the Cardinals need to do a better job of accepting the fact that there's some bad contracts, and walking away from a bad contract and eating that money can be more beneficial than sticking with somebody just because you're paying them. So, Tom, we're totally in agreement on that one.
Well, I take too much of your time already. Well, thanks a lot for taking my call.
You bet.
I appreciate it.
Thank you to you as well. I appreciate it. Yeah, They didn't need to take from the ballpark to or from the club to build Ballpark Village, and it is as far. I mean, I've never seen the books. I from what I know and from what I understand, I think it is a thriving business that they have going on. And now the Ballpark Village people see. Here's I don't know. This is where I need to just shut up because I'm going to say something that's not true. The designers of Ballpark Village are the people who are going to be doing the Millennium Project. What I don't know is if there's going to be like an official connection between Ballpark Village and the Millennium Project. I would love for, but even just from a downtown aesthetic standpoint, the fact that they are so close to each other and Ballpark Village looks really cool. Can we all agree that? Ballpark Village is a really, really cool looking thing. The towers are cool. It's vibrant. Where we're living in an area with a downtown that a lot of these buildings are not vibrant and many of these buildings don't have anything in them. It is nice to have an area where it's you got some cool looking buildings that have stuff going on. There's lots of cool looking buildings in downtown. Don't get me wrong. We've got amazing architecture here in downtown St. Louis. But the fact that the Millennium Project is going to look very similar, have kind of the same I don't know, I'm not an architecture guy, so I'm not going to use the right words, but have the same vibe as what's going on at Ballpark Village. I think it's just going to help make downtown look that much better. Jim sends in a message, says, go after a veteran outfielder who gives you 20 to 30 home runs, trade Arenado and Walker for starting pitching, keep Sonny Gray, go with that to start the season, see how the rest of the young guys develop. So Arenado doesn't have trade value. That's the first thing. Because of the money that he is owed. Now, if you want to pick up the vast majority of his contract, he'll have a little bit of trade value because of who he is still is from a defensive standpoint. But this is a declining offensive player. That's who he is. And are there teams that would be interested in Arenado? Yes. Are there teams that are going to be interested in Arenado and paying him what he is, you know, picking up most of his contract? Probably not. Now, the money does go down a little bit here over the next couple seasons, so that is going to help when it comes to that. But there's still a fair amount of money there. So Arenado doesn't have a lot of trade value in terms of what you're going to get back for him. I don't know what Walker's trade value is going to be. But I wouldn't trade him. I would actually just stick him at AAA and let him be. They're probably not going to do this, but I would go into spring training next year with the legit thought that Jordan Walker might not play a game in the big leagues next year. That you're going to send him to AAA and you're going to ask him to do something really, really challenging. Because he can mash AAA pitching in the way he currently goes about it. But the way he currently goes about it doesn't work in the big leagues. So go ask Jordan Walker to do all the things that you have asked him to do and to do it at AAA, where he is just going to know that if he reverts back to the way he has been, he's going to have success. But it's about the discipline of becoming the hitter that the Cardinals want him to become. Because I know people don't want to hear it, and there is not a single player who is more frustrating and who underachieved more than Jordan Walker on the Cardinals this year. But you cannot ignore the fact that all the underlying numbers scream superstar. That doesn't mean he's going to become that. Maybe he never gets out of his own way. Maybe he never makes the tweaks that you need to be able to make tweak to do these things. And if that ends up happening, you lose him for nothing. But he cost you nothing right now. You don't trade that away. You try to develop it, you try to cultivate it, you try to push forward as much as you possibly can. So I think they trade Arenado, but I don't think they get much back for him. I don't think they trade Walker. I would not guarantee anything for next year. They do need to add in the outfield. They need a right-handed bat in the outfield. I don't know what that's going to look like. Again, that's something where what we hear from Chaim Bloom, whenever he does speak, I would assume it's going to be at some point next week, that what direction is this team going? Text message from 618 asks about Jordan Walker. Good, really good question here. Do you believe that Jordan Walker's failures the last couple of years are due to the league adjusting to him, or have the Cardinals tinkered with him so much that they've ruined him? It's the first part, because really, Kevin Wheeler, I'm parroting Kevin Wheeler here, but Kevin's right. So I think it's a really good point that I like to make as well. He's made some changes, like in his stance, how wide open he is, how close he is to the plate, or how far away he is from the plate. He has made those changes, but the actual swing is the exact same swing that he has when he got here. He really hasn't made changes. He goes through some periods where the swing is a little bit different, but then it always just reverts back to what it's always been. So I get frustrated when people point to his start of his big league career and the success he had then, and then try to turn that into, well, the Cardinals messed him up. No, the league adjusted. The league 100% adjusted to him, and he's never adjusted back. There is no sport that has more adjustments from each side than baseball. You are always in a period of adjustment. You're adjusting to the league, or the league is adjusting to you. It is a constant battle. And the players who do it best are the players who have really, really long careers. And honestly, Walker hasn't adjusted yet. He hasn't made that first adjustment. In many ways, he's that same guy when he first got here, and the league has adjusted, and his swing decisions are terrible. That's the first step. That's the first step for Walker, because we know he's got one of the most elite bat speeds in all of baseball. That alone tells you, when he makes contact, he's going to hit the living you-know-what out of the ball a lot. So the first thing he needs to do is stop swinging at pitches that he can't make contact with. All the other stuff that you got to fix, get a little bit more loft on the ball, things like that, that will come. That will come. But if you can just start getting him to a point where he is not swinging at terrible pitches that he has no chance of hitting, if you just get rid of that part of his game, well, he's going to become an exponentially better ball player at the snap of a finger. Because when he makes contact, the other night, a couple nights ago, he had a ball off his bat. What was it, like 117 or 118? It was the hardest hit ball by a Cardinal in the StatCast era. So the StatCast era, they've been measuring exit velocities since, I think it's 2015, if I have that right. Maybe it's 28. The exact year doesn't matter. But he hit the living you-know-what out of the ball, more so than any Cardinal ever before. Would you like for there to be a little bit of loft on that, for him to hit line drives and to get into the gap and to sometimes put it over the wall and do all that sort of stuff? Yeah, but that can come later. Right now, just go hit the ball really, really flipping hard, because that's what you have the ability to do, and then stuff can come later. One of the cliches in baseball is, power is the last skill to develop. That's true. He's still a really young dude. So I'm not – a year ago, I was more worried about launch angle and stuff like that. Not as worried about that with him right now. Better swing decisions, make better contact, do those things, and it starts to get better right away. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Only about a minute left here in the program as we get you set for Cardinals baseball tonight. Certainly appreciate everybody who was on the program today. Really enjoyed the conversation. Not that I didn't enjoy the conversation with everybody, but had a lot of fun talking with John Morosi because he recently spoke with Scott Rolen for a really long time as part of his Road to Cooperstown show, which is a podcast and part of MLB Network Radio. And he talks with Hall of Famers and just goes through their story. I love the Scott Rolen conversation. Listened to it last night. If you didn't hear John Morosi, you can always go back in the archive and find it. But find that Road to Cooperstown. And then Pete Futak, Joe Roderick, certainly appreciate them being on with us as well. But that is it for this edition of the program. Of course, we don't want you to go anywhere. Why? Well, we've got Cardinals baseball. It's the Cardinals. It's the Giants. And our pregame coverage begins in exactly 5 minutes right here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.